How did the paranormal become the new normal, and what are the consequences to that? How might it be affecting you?
People oftentimes ask me, is there a greater sense of evil in the world today? My response always is, I think that, I don't know that the devil has upped his game, but I think more people today are willing to play the devil's game. Faith in God will lead us in one direction, the lack of faith will lead us in another, and certainly faith is on decline in the lives of many people.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Jan is joined this hour by her two co-hosts, Eric Barger and Jill Martin Rishi, to discuss how the paranormal is becoming more normal today. Americans have a fascination with the paranormal. Everywhere you look, it's becoming more mainstream. Later in this broadcast, our panel will pull back the curtain on how freedom of speech is being restricted by some outlets in the social media. That's all just ahead. So let's get started. Here's Jan Markell.
And welcome to the program. We look at news, views, truths from a decidedly biblical perspective. And we had Halloween less than 2 weeks ago, and I decided at that time that we have not, on this program, done a paranormal update in quite some time. Let me just sort of set the stage for this hour by making a few introductory comments, because I was surprised recently to read the percentage of Americans who are actually, they believe in the paranormal. And this would include the following and a whole lot more: a belief by the general population in demons, demonic activity, that places can be haunted, the foretelling of the future, believe in aliens, psychic activity, moving objects with their mind, much, much more. Way over half the population of America believes in these things. Only 25% of Americans do not believe in the paranormal and the items plus much more that I just listed. So what is behind these haunting experiences, and what if one happens in your life? Or could you have a loved one, a friend, a coworker who's talking to you about the paranormal and as though the paranormal is normal? Now, the Bible says that in the age just before the return of Jesus Christ, the world would experience a literal demonic outpouring. I believe we're in the age right before the return of Jesus Christ. The scripture declares that this coming spiritual deluge will eventually bring about a desperate state of lots of things: apostasy in the church, a diabolical delusion among the nations, and a spirit of abject lawlessness will sweep the planet. We are at least in the beginning stages of all of those prophesied conditions, and maybe further down the road than, frankly, just the beginning. I feel that I cannot help you, my audience, understand the times without a discussion frequently of the supernatural and the paranormal. So we'll talk about that for a couple of segments here. When I do this topic, I always like to have handy my very frequent co-hosts, Eric Barger. Eric, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks, Jan. Glad to be here.
And Jill Martin Rishi, daughter of the late Dr. Walter Martin. Jill, glad you could swing by the studio.
Great to be here, Jan.
I've seen a number of articles online. I'd like to play off a couple of them anyway. And one was titled, "The Surge in Spiritism, the Most Americans Believe in the Paranormal." I just cited a couple of paragraphs from that. And I'm wondering, the relentless cultural attack against Christianity means that the hunger for spiritual experiences is expressed instead of the way the three of us would like it to be expressed, biblically, etc. It's rechanneled into the occult instead of traditional faith. Would you agree?
Absolutely. This hunger is an ancient hunger. Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun, and the Ten Commandments actually address this. Because God said, back in Deuteronomy, he said, do not worship any other gods other than me. And if you do, I will visit the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. So at the beginning there, God is saying, look, this is a danger. There is a hunger inside of you, but only I can fill it. And if you come to me, I will show you. And this is the wonderful promise in that next part of the verse in the Ten Commandments. I will show steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. So we're just seeing a resurgence here of evil.
Okay, Eric, people want to believe in something. They want to believe in some form of God, so they're picking the supernatural. They're picking the supernatural, they're picking the dark side over the God of the universe. You write about this, you've even written a book on it, so this doesn't surprise you.
No, not at all. And, you know, we're spiritual beings. We're looking for some sort of spiritual input in our lives. And as someone has once said many years ago, and I think it's true, there's a God-shaped void in each person who doesn't know Christ. So people are searching for something to fill that void. But, you know, New Agers, for example, with 100 million people who have dabbled in New Age stuff here in America, and that's in the polls, you can kind of read those figures. You know, they're looking for something. And I've always said they're looking for Jesus and just don't know it. They're looking for something to fill up that part of them, that spirit part of them. So this is a natural. And look around us, how much occultism is being pushed at us from all sides. And even though people may not be able to recognize it or say that's the occult, it is occultism coming from all directions.
Well, Carl Payne, and sometimes I will quote him, and he's a writer, he's written some books on this topic, and particularly the occult. He says this, quote, "The bottom line is that today's hedonistic culture, demons or spirits are in, and a worldview embracing spiritism and occultism is growing." He said this in WorldNet Daily. He says, "The media has not created this reality. It has just accelerated its expanse from a fringe curiosity to be ignored or scorned to a reality to be chased and embraced. From the point of view of a Christian theist, the result of this hell-bent express are paradoxical." He goes on to say, "I'm glad that more and more people are shedding the shackles of atheism. God is real and he can be known through the Lord Jesus Christ, the only mediator between God and man. But," he says, "I am sickened that the cost of the rise of spiritism and supernaturalism is that many people are now dancing with demons who are also real, and their job is to ultimately destroy their dancing partners in time, regardless of what lie they had to spin to get the date." I did not think I would live to see, Jill and Eric, so many people dancing with demons.
Well, we are hooked on the supernatural, but not on God's supernatural. Therein lies the huge problem that we're talking about here today.
This is the Harry Potter generation, too. So really what's happened is the acceptance of something that seems unbelievable, it's spread, it's believable now. Harry Potter has made the impossible, the supernatural, believable. And that's, I think, what you are seeing is this exploration of this other realm.
Let me play a quick soundbite here. And I've got a couple of soundbites. And two of these soundbites, the people who are speaking, sharing their sort of their testimony, how they got out of all this, I found it intriguing. They got into it through a Ouija board. My listeners, if they listen faithfully, know I was addicted to a Ouija board when I was 22 years old. How easy it is for, and this was the bait that lured them, as lured me as a young person. This is a testimony of someone who escaped all of this, but he's talking about he met three demons and he tried to get these three demons to come into church with him to cause some problems. Anyway, we'll let Joe tell his story.
When his mother and stepfather separated, Joe began to fill the void in his life with alcohol and eventually the occult. He started experimenting with a Ouija board, which opened doors that would not be easily closed.
We had some very powerful experiences then, and I just felt this something extra in me, and I knew that something was different. And I remember walking down the street that night, and the cats were in the yard, and they would just start hissing. And
later, as an adult, Joe met three demons.
The demons had really started making themselves very known to me at that time. There was three of them. One was a manipulator, and it took on the female persona. One, the other was a tormentor, and he took on the male persona. And then the other one was the mastermind. Every night I would meet with them, and they would just fill me with this knowledge of the kingdom of darkness and how they operate. It was one of those moments that, look, if you'll just let us teach you, then we'll give you everything you want.
Joe says the demons began prodding him to harass Christians.
They began to put me into situations where, you know, you'd have good-hearted Christian people, evangelists out, you know, preaching in the streets. I would engage them in conversation, and 9 times out of 10, they would be outside with me 30 minutes later smoking a cigarette, questioning their faith. That was a big thing to me, to be able to unhinge a believer.
One evening, Joe says his demons told him to go and disrupt a church service.
They told me to mock God in his own house, and this was exciting for me. And so we go to this little tiny storefront church. As I was walking into the doors, those three handlers had to stand outside the door. It wasn't that they didn't want to go in. It was that they couldn't go in.
That night, the war for Joe's soul intensified.
The singer began to sing about taking the children back from the devil, and I got infuriated. I mean, it just was just boiling inside of me, and I was wanting to explode and to tell her, man, leave the children alone, they're mine.
Eventually, the pastor gave an altar call.
This lady comes to me and asked me if I wanted to accept Jesus into my heart. And I told her, lady, you're a woman of God, and I don't want nothing from you because you got nothing I want. I don't have any clue how I got there, but I was at the altar. For almost 45 minutes, they were just casting these demons out of me all over the sanctuary. And so all I could think about was, man, the devil's gonna kill me. You know, they're waiting for me right outside. And this sweet old lady was patting me on the back. And she's like, oh, you're going to be okay, son. It'll be all right. Don't worry.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have in the studio with me Joel Martin Rishi and Eric Barger. And a couple times a year, I do like to do a paranormal update because the paranormal is becoming the new normal. And we cannot just dismiss it. It may not be very attractive subject matter. Well, Halloween's been here and gone less than 2 weeks ago. Let me just read a couple of paragraphs. Albert Mohler talking about this particular topic, and he says, well, Halloween is a big deal in the marketplace. Halloween is surpassed only by Christmas in terms of economic activity. The annual economic impact of Halloween is now somewhere between $4 and $6 billion. Halloween is currently the second most important party night in North America. In terms of retail potential, it is second only to Christmas. This commercialism fortifies its significance as a time of public license, a custom design opportunity to have a blast. Regardless of its spiritual complications, Halloween, big business. However, in modern culture, Halloween has become not only a commercial holiday, but a season of cultural fascination with evil and the demonic. The culture's confrontation with the dark side has also pushed far beyond boundaries honored in the past. I don't know if either one of you, Jill or Eric, had any response to the story of Joe. The demons couldn't go in the church. I found that very interesting.
Well, that's the power of God. Mm-hmm. You know, they have to fall before the power of God. All Jesus had to do is look at them and say one word, go. And that was all it took. Yeah. So we should remember that. It only took Jesus one syllable. And in actuality, he probably only had to think it. Mm-hmm. So this is the power of God versus the power of evil. And we should not be afraid of this evil. We have mm-hmm. the power to defeat them. So we should not be afraid of them. What we need to do is take the perspective of Ephesians, which is spiritual warfare. Don't you think, Eric?
That's it. And, you know, remember that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but power, mm-hmm. love, and a sound mind. And
yes.
We're to defeat evil with good and with, of course, the word of God. Let me comment about Joe, too, if I could, just for a second. I don't think that can be a set pat experience that all Christians would have, though, with the demonic. I believe that in some cases, we will find the demonic at work actually in the church building. Mm-hmm. In that particular case, okay. That was his experience, and that's what happened with the ones that were assigned to him, the demonic that was assigned to him. But in years past, I've been in contact with more than one occasion with people who have had witches come and sit in the front row to try to disrupt services in a spiritual manner. So we know that that kind of stuff goes on, too. So we don't want to lead people to believe that demons are barred from the church door. In some cases, that could be. Not every, though.
I want to move on to a second article here, just in the interest of time. And this one startles me. Millennials ditch religion for witchcraft and astrology. It is now becoming more and more normalized. And an article goes on to state that the replacement for these young people has been astrology, aura reading, mediumship, tarot card reading, and palmistry. Adherence to the practices grew enormously between 2011 and 2016, creating an industry now worth $2 billion. I don't happen to have millennials in my life. Jill, I know you do. Eric, you may have some grandchildren. But what is the lure for these millennials? At one time, they perhaps believed nothing or some lukewarm faith, or some had strong faith, but now they have a new spirituality, but it's the dark side.
Yes, it's called the suspension of disbelief. This is what happens to us whenever we read a story or watch a movie. It's a suspension of disbelief. In other words, we are open to whatever is going to be presented to us there, and we are open because of things that have influenced us. The media has been so occult-oriented.
Yes, yes.
It is literally saturated with the occult, from ghost shows, you name it, to mediums talking to you and talking to dead relatives on network television. television, I mean cable television. So we are so saturated in this. And then you add the Harry Potter phenomenon, really, and that was a phenomenon, mm-hmm. Jan and Eric, don't you think? It just really took over the world and how it exploded onto the world. So that caused a suspension of disbelief. And the millennials, this particular age, they are wide open to supernatural power because they think it's real, and they're right. It is real.
Absolutely. And the 1990s were, that was the decade that I think we saw it really explode in our culture. And I've quoted this before, but I think it's worth repeating, Jan. In the 2001 ERA survey, which is the American Religious Identification Survey, they said between 1991 and 2001, between those two surveys, and they've done one every so often, but it was 10 years that time, that the amount of Christians or people who identify with Christianity in America dropped almost 10%. It was 9.7%. But at the same time, the people that identified with Wicca, witchcraft, and neo-paganism rose, are you ready? 1,675% in that 10-year period. Then we see more of a rise again in the article that we're citing today between 2011 and 2016. So it just continues.
Well, again, this hit so many online websites. Millennials ditch religion for witchcraft and astrology. That means some of them, as I said earlier, some of them had some faith. Maybe it was watered down. Who knows? Maybe that some were evangelical Christians. We don't know. It's just they had some form of faith. They ditched it for witchcraft and astrology. But Jill, what you said is so true, and that is the theaters, the TV channels, they are flooded with ghosts, zombies, monsters, and worse. I mean, when you live in a culture that glamorizes this, and that's what's going on, when you live in a culture that encourages people to get involved in these types of activities, do you not think that there are some people from all age groups, but I'm sure heavily the younger folks who are lured into the occult through the culture that we promote? We've got The Walking Dead. I mean, that broke cable TV records a few years ago. The same with American Horror Story, broke all records. So if you want to desensitize people, there's plenty of opportunity to do that. Jill, your response?
Yes, and the popularity of these things really, to me, is amazing. They take off like a rocket. Yep. The Walking Dead, this is about zombies mm-hmm. attacking living people. And what's amazing about the zombies is they act like they're alive, but they can't possibly be alive because they're dead. Therefore, they're animated with something. What are they animated with? There's this suspension of disbelief again, that they can be animated with some kind of outside power. And that show is still hugely popular today. So you are dealing with a world that is literally reveling in the occult.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you've got the Fox program, Lucifer, which is mm-hmm. Satan comes from hell to live in Los Angeles. He's kind of a hero, glamorized, living the good life, handsome fellow. He's the hero of the program, Lucifer. Again, Fox presentation, not Fox News. I want to continue this discussion. When I get back, I want to play a clip from a former New Ager who's going to be warning you, my audience, about some things you've got to get out of your house. Because the more you let these items hang around your house, the more you're going to be inviting and encouraging the very things we are warning against this hour. So I'm coming back in a couple of minutes. We'll resume. I've got Joel Martin Rishi and Eric Barger in studio with me. Don't go away.
Jan, Eric, and Jill will return in just a moment to continue their conversation on the paranormal. Please don't forget the 2017 Understanding the Times conference videos and audio CDs are available now. Order your set of conference memories by phoning 763-559-4444 or order online at olivetreeviews.org. Here's what some conference attendees were saying about this year's End Times event.
You know something? This is probably one of the most important things that ever comes along in a lifetime. And it comes up every October. And you get all the information you need. You get to understand what's happening in the world. And this is a wonderful conference.
Every weekend, Understanding the Times Radio brings you messages to help you discern the last days by interpreting current events through the lens of God's Word. You can help maintain this vital, listener-supported broadcast outreach. This ministry welcomes your tax-deductible gifts when you write to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. Why is the paranormal becoming the new normal? More on that from our panel right after this. Our recent Understanding the Times conference brought great clarification to the many issues of the day we are watching in daily headlines. They will only make sense when interpreted from the Bible. Our times are perilous. The church is caving to apostasy. America cannot be found in biblical prophecy. Europe is preparing for the Antichrist. But the good news is that Jesus Christ will return for his bride very soon. Our speakers included Amir Sarfati.
The Antichrist has to be a good friend of Israel, has to serve the interests of the people of Israel and the Jewish people, has to be liked by them to the point of even worship by them.
Pastor J.D. Farag.
The clarion call is to know that not only are we living in the last moments of world history as we know it, but we need to know what to do while there's still time.
Dr. Mark Hitchcock.
The enemy is working feverishly today in seminaries, denominations, and churches to pry people away from trust in the inerrant, inspired, living Word of God. And apostasy is an inside job.
Michelle Bachman.
The final judgment over Babel goes hand in hand with the second coming of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and the dawn of the messianic time, which will be centered on Zion.
Why not order complete sets of CDs and DVDs today? 5 messages are offered on DVD for just $35 plus $5 shipping in the U.S. 5 messages are offered on CD for $30 plus $5 shipping in the U.S. DVDs contain valuable speaker PowerPoint. Order online at olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org, or call us at 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444. You can also write to us at Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311.
Paranormal, fascinating subject. We all love scary movies. We all hear stories, ghost stories, witches, monsters under the bed.
The Ouija board is that seemingly innocuous collection of letters, numbers, and words printed on a plank. The idea is that you ask it a question, and then the pointer, called a planchette, spells out the answer.
We as a culture love to be scared. That's my definition of the paranormal. You can't understand it, can't explain it, but can't deny that something's going on.
If you just joined us in our first 2 segments today, Eric Barger, Jill Martin-Rishi, and Jan Markell are discussing the paranormal. Now let's rejoin their conversation.
You can get a CD of any program by giving us a call. If you become a CD subscriber, you need to call us on that as well if you'd like to process that with a credit card. I hope you'll follow us on our Facebook and Twitter. Jan Markell's Olive Tree Ministries for Facebook, and Jill Martin-Rishi manages our Facebook and Twitter. Olive Tree Men at Twitter. And Jill, thank you for all you do. And don't forget, this program is posted to my website every Saturday. Some of you miss a program or you're in an area where you can't get good reception. OliveTreeViews.org every Saturday morning. You can conveniently listen. Again, I'm doing my couple times a year paranormal update because the paranormal is the new normal, and we've got to talk about it. I have experts in studio with me. Jill Martin-Rishi is the author of the 700-page book, The Kingdom of the Occult, and again, it's an encyclopedia, and I've certainly read portions of it. Outstanding. And Eric Barger, the author of Entertaining Spirits Unaware, and you can actually download that at ericbarger.com, ericbarger.com, Kingdom of the Occult, waltermartin.com. We don't carry them, folks. Best not to call here. We'll give those 2 websites one more time. Eric, during the break, were talking to me about some programming that you spotted, I think, on the Fox Network.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just ran out of time in the first segment there, but this morning I went to the Fox Network, the broadcast network I'm talking about, the Fox Television Network, and looked at their website. I mean, from the top down, it mm-hmm. is loaded with occultism and supernaturalism, spiritualism. The program The Gifted, Old Wounds is a Star Trek continuation of Star Trek. And you know, let's face it, aliens and that kind of thing, UFOs, this all works into what we're talking about. The same people who would be taken by the occult stuff would probably be interested in the world of UFOs too. Mm-hmm. The next show is The Orville, which looks to be very occultic. Gotham, Lucifer, and as we were talking about during the break, even though there might be some comedy in it, I don't find a program with Lucifer being the starring character to be something that Christians would find comical. The Exorcist is back as a TV show on
really?
Fox. Ghosted is another one, and The X-Files is back. Now, this is the current lineup this fall on the Fox Broadcast Network. If we went to the other networks, I think we'd find the same kind of thing.
Well, we did a program a couple of years ago. Jill, we were hitting the programs on the cable, all the cable networks. There were so many, I think we could have gone on a couple hours talking about them.
Yes, the occult is great for business.
Mm-hmm. It's good for business. You were also talking a little bit during the break, Jill. You had an experience. You were a teenager. I had my Ouija board experience. I've talked about it on air quite frequently as a warning that this is a lure. It can be all ages of people. It's frequently younger people, however. It's a lure into the occult. And you were talking about your experience as a 15-year-old.
Yes, actually, I had no business being near a Ouija board, but my friend had gotten one for her birthday, and it was actually speaking to them, and she was scared. So she asked me to come over. You know, there's a tiny little planchette that you put your fingers on, and it was moving across the board so quickly, they had a hard time writing down what was being spelled out. So I went to the home, and we sat there, and he starts out, and I say he, because of course there is no he or she, but he projected or presented himself as a male. And he told this funny, joking story, and they try to approach you as a friend. I'm funny. I'm a friend. I can be a friend to you. That's how they start out. And so he started out joking with us, talking about humor like you did. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, when I started using the name of Jesus, wow, what a change. It just rips the mask right off of them. And I said, in the name of Jesus, are you a demon? And he spelled out, yes. And from that point on, he just had to answer all of my questions.
I put a little New Testament, small, very, very, very small little New Testament on the Ouija board, and that planchette that you call it, the item that you put your hands on, knocked at that New Testament until it knocked it off the Ouija board.
Yes.
Then it spun around, and then it began swearing. It was so angry that the Word of God had been put on the board itself that it knocked it off the board and then began swearing.
You know, ladies, I think it's interesting that we have a lot of people in church today who see that or who think that these things really don't exist, don't you?
That's why.
I mean, this is very interesting to me.
That's why I'm doing this program. Eric, that's why I'm doing
this
program.
I know it is, but we have a lack in the pulpits is what I'm getting at. I think you would agree, wouldn't you?
Well, exactly. And I think sometimes when I do this topic, I think listeners get even mildly irked because they think, you know, folks, I'm a Christian. This is irrelevant to me. I don't mess with things of the paranormal. Well, you've got neighbors, you've got kids, you've got grandkids, you've got all sorts of people, coworkers who are embedded in this night and day. That's why I do this, is to do a reality check. I want to talk just real briefly here about things we need to get out of our house. I think that Christians have all sorts of things in their house that are encouraging occult powers. I want to play a quick soundbite. This is a former New Ager. I will get his name here in just a moment. He's a former New Ager, very interesting fellow. I think his name is Steve Bancars. And it's a quick soundbite, less than 3 minutes, and he's going to be giving you all a very, very appropriate warning.
And right now we're going to go through a list of things that should be burnt. And I recommend burning them because that's what they did in the Book of Acts. We'll take a look at that in a little bit. Right now we're going to go through a list of some objects that will give these principalities legal ground into your life and into your consciousness and into your house. So the first thing is books. Occult books, New Age books, Gnostic books, esoteric books, transcendentalist books, Hindu books, Buddhist books, yoga books, any books that advocate reincarnation, crystals, aliens, universalism, pantheism, the use of drugs, spiritism, sorcery, magic, mysticism, channeling, quote-unquote spiritual awakening, any false version of Jesus, Atlantis, theosophy, etc. I would also recommend including fiction books in here that contain these themes in them. It says in Galatians 5:20 that idolatry and sorcery are works of the flesh, and that those who practice these things will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. It further says in Revelation 21:8 that those who practice these things will have their place in the lake of fire. Or we could look in Deuteronomy 18, verse 12, where it says, whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord. So God does not want us involved in these practices. These practices are worthy of hellfire precisely because it is communion with demons. as it says elsewhere in Scripture. And there are far better forms of entertainment out there that don't glorify the Satanic Kingdom. You're going to want to get rid of card decks, tarot cards, angel decks, ascended master decks, fairy and elf decks, fortune-telling decks, magic card decks, anything like this. You're going to want to get rid of idols and statues, Buddha statues, Hindu idols, dragons, fairy, elves, pagan gods, Greek mythology statues. There's a reason why idol worship is equated with demon worship in Revelation 9:20 and Deuteronomy 32:17, and it's because of what these idols are representing in the spirit and what they're linked to in the spirit. It's not because God's a bigot, it's because he knows what's going on. The next thing you're going to want to get rid of is crystals. Crystal balls, crystal wands, crystal jewelry, crystal stones, anything that's been used for divination, spiritism, and witchcraft. But there's a reason why they're in every single metaphysical shop, so just chuck them. You're going to want to get rid of clothing items with pagan symbols, anything with all-seeing eyes or the flower of life, anything with a witchcraft symbol on it or an esoteric symbol. You're going to want to get rid of CDs, like meditation music, chanting, any music with occult, satanic, or esoteric themes. You're going to want to get rid of tapestries, jewelry, posters, movies and DVDs, trinkets, masks, dream catchers, incense, sage, pendants, anything like this. These things all play a role in opening up your spirit to being yoked, to being spiritually oppressed and energized in a delusion about who you are, about who God is, and about how spirituality works. They create ties between your consciousness and the principalities that have been set over these practices and over these worldviews, which makes it harder for you to see the truth because it's like having an extra set of blinders over your eyes. There's a really interesting scripture in Acts 19, verse 19, where it reads, "A number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver." So this is about $10,000 worth of magic books, and they got rid of them permanently. They didn't donate them to other sorcerers. They didn't try to sell them and make a profit. We don't want to be recycling them back into the Satanic Kingdom to be used by other people to pervert other people's spirituality. We want to get rid of them permanently and just rid them off the face of the planet if we can by burning them. And you will have so much more peace and freedom and wholeness and clarity of mind when you rid your life from these objects.
I have a hunch, Eric Barger, and by the way, folks, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have been in studio Joe Martin Rishi, Eric Barger. Eric, I've got a suspicion that some of the listeners have Harry Potter books in their homes.
I think that might be just part of it, though, Jan. You know, there's two scriptures, one on either side of the passage that was just mentioned during that clip. Verse 19 talks about that they brought their curious arts together, mm-hmm. their sorcery, the items together. But verse 18 says, "And many that believed came and confessed and shewed their deeds." Many that believed, those are Christians, yeah. folks. That was verse 18. These are people who realized what was going on because the word of God was preached and they realized they came under conviction. They recognized what they needed to do. They were believers who confessed and then rid their homes of these things. And the verse on the other side of the one that was used in the clip is verse 20. It says, "So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." So Acts 19, 18 through 20, folks, is the spot you want to look at. And verse 20 is the payoff because it says, "So mightily the word of God prevailed, grew and prevailed." You know, that's the whole thing. That's what we're looking for, is for God's word to grow in our lives and then for his word to prevail in our hearts and be able to not only change us, but to have God use us to bring his word forward to others to change. So, you know, that's the whole thing, is that once we become free from these things that have drug us down, you know, I don't think that any Christian out there has set out to be brought down or set out to be drugged down by these things. But little by little, these things get in our lives, they get into our homes, they get a hold on us. And what we want to do is be free. And God's word shows us very clearly there in Acts 19 how we can be free.
I don't want to let this go, though, Jill, because I'm so convinced that there are listeners out there with lots and lots of Harry Potter books around.
Well, the Bible says that Christians cannot be possessed, mm-hmm. but we can be oppressed. What does it mean to be oppressed? Well, you know, Eric, I think you can agree with me when that means your life feels like something is crushing you from the outside in, and you feel almost like you're caged or a heavy weight is on you. You're having bad nightmares, things like that. So oppression is real. And when you have these things in your home, you're opening the door not just to oppression for you, but for the people that you love.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, you know, oppression oftentimes is just being distracted from where we should be going. And the distraction becomes so overwhelming to us that we can't think straight. That's what happens so often.
It affects your thought processes. It affects your personal walk with God.
Okay, well, let me ask you, Eric, I'll ask you the question. How much can the demonic world torment a Christian? I mean, they can oppress us, but how much can they torment us?
I think it depends on how open we have made ourselves to their attacks. And oftentimes, I think Christians are making themselves open without even realizing what has happened before the door is so far open that it's hard to get it shut, and that they begin to look for help in places. That's where we come in often, is that they're looking for help. They're to the place where they know something is wrong and they can't close the door.
Well, it can lead to some very dark places. It can lead to suicidal thoughts. Yeah. It can lead to just wanting to cut yourself off completely from the church, from fellowship, from reading your Bible. It can come and it can really build a wall between you and the Lord.
Okay. Well, there's some good news out there. We have reported on this program probably a year ago now that after-school Satan clubs were being formed in some schools, and this was to counter Child Evangelism Good News clubs, which has been around forever and ever, doing wonderful evangelistic work in our public schools. After-school Satan clubs came along, supposedly, a year ago, flopping, not going over. One of them, at least in Tacoma, article in Fox News, atheist masquerading as so-called Satanist temple group ended an after-school program at such and such elementary school in Tacoma. The after-school Satan club ceased meeting soon after teachers from the Seattle Satanic Temple offered their first meeting in December 2016. Apparently only one child joined the club. Well, that is good news. Eric, that's your kind of neighborhood. You're out there in Seattle, Tacoma.
You know, I only saw it written about on the website of one of the TV networks or stations here in the area, but it is good news. And we didn't think that people were going to say, oh, gee, there's a Satan club at school. I think I want to get my kid into it. You know, we didn't think that would happen, even in this area that is so unchurched, being the least church county in the United States here at Pierce County, Washington, where I live, same county with Tacoma. But we didn't think that people were going to just run to it. But I thought if some place would be open to it, it would be here because of the infection of the New Age movement that took place 30 and 40 years ago here in this area, and it's still here today. You still see the outpouring of it, the remnant of it around us in this area. But that's the Satanic Temple up in Seattle, and that was their baby, so to speak. And of course, that came from the Satanic Temple back in Massachusetts. They're all linked together. Thought it was interesting in this article, Jan, that how quickly they got their nonprofit status. It only took them 10 days to get their nonprofit status. That was an interesting point of it. But this club has failed in this area anyway.
I want to play one more quick soundbite because it's another uplifting story, and when we talk about this darkness, we got to bring in the light. And here's another fellow delivered from this, all the things we're talking about. He actually found the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior on Halloween.
As a high school student, Dean Ogden was mainly interested in math and science. However, during his senior year, a game opened his eyes to the supernatural, the Ouija board.
I was really skeptical because I thought maybe the other people were just moving it. But then when I started to use it, I realized that I wasn't the one doing it.
In his 20s, supernatural forces were running his life. At a friend's house one night, a spirit made its presence known. Dean charged up the staircase to confront whatever it was.
It felt like something flew through the air and grabbed a hold of me and began to squeeze me around the chest. And in my mind, I could sense that it was telling me that what I had done was wrong and that I should never try anything like that again.
Now, Dean was determined to meditate more fervently to increase his occult powers. He focused on the mythical goddess Ishtar.
I would go out into the little forest that was around my parents' house, and I really felt that I would get more of a connection with her, and that through that connection, I was gaining more and more power.
At the peak of his supernatural power, Dean received two traumatic blows. His girlfriend of several years broke up with him, and his favorite aunt and uncle were killed in a car crash.
I just felt confused because I have been in control all my life, and now that has been taken away from me, and there's no place I could go to get it back.
Dean's best friend also broke up with his girlfriend, but somehow he handled it differently.
I was struggling every day dealing with this, and I couldn't see any hope in sight, but here he had recovered almost perfectly in just a matter of weeks.
Dean asked his best friend for advice. He was a pastor's son who had returned to his faith. He said Jesus helped him move on, and he invited Dean to a Bible study.
I really felt like an outsider. They would worship, they would read out of the Bible, but when they prayed, it felt as if I'd been set on fire, and I really felt like I was being punished by my goddess for being someplace I shouldn't be.
Now Dean was more confused than ever, so he tried to reconnect with Ishtar for answers.
would focus and I would meditate, and nothing. I felt nothing. It was almost like someone had turned their back on me.
In desperation, Dean reasoned he would try the Bible study once more. This time, the burning sensation wasn't as uncomfortable, and he discovered something new.
I found for the first time that I could read the Bible and understand it, and that it was giving me a direction that I didn't have before, and that it actually felt like it was filling me up, that it was filling that void in my heart that I had been missing.
Then someone gave him a study Bible, and he couldn't put it down.
As I read the Bible, I realized that the power that I'd been tapping into was from evil. And you know that you can't do good with evil. And so I realized at that point that the one true good power is that of God and of Jesus.
Then came Halloween in 1996. Dean was well aware that nightfall marked the greatest potential for communication with supernatural powers.
The evening didn't seem right, so I left. And I went home. When I got home, I knew that I had to make a decision. I knew the truth. I knew the sides. And it was at that point that I went into my room, I got down on my knees, and I prayed that Jesus would forgive me my sins and that he would take control of my life.
Not only did Dean accept Jesus as his Savior on Halloween night, the next day was the brightest he had ever experienced.
I felt I was alive for the very first time. And I knew that I had a God that was walking next to me that would be there day in and day out and would never turn his back on me.
Well, folks, the best way you can be on the defensive against the dark side is to have the Lord Jesus Christ be the ruler of your life and to kick to the curb the prince of darkness, the prince in power of the air. He has power, but it cannot compare to that of the one who died for you, that you might have eternal life if you but call on the name of Jesus today. We're changing topics in the next segment. Don't go away.
Coming up on today's Understanding the Times, our media team discusses how many social media companies are trying to limit freedom of speech on the World Wide Web. This should be a concern for all Americans. Censorship is beginning to get a grip on some of our favorite social media sites. Before we get to that, we want to remind you of how we stay in touch with you. Our website is the place to go to sign up for our newsletter, our e-news alerts, and much, much more. Just click on to olivetreeviews.org. We hope you'll visit olivetreeviews.org often for all kinds of materials to keep you informed about the many topics we discuss on the air. For more information about this ministry, contact us by phone at 763-559-4444 or by mail at Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311.
Thanks for standing with this radio outreach both prayerfully and financially for 17 years. I have always tried to give you the good news amidst the troubling headlines that we read daily. The Bible says that without hope, the people perish. Well, there is hope today, but that is rooted in the message of the Bible. The King is coming. If you are ready to meet him, then be encouraged. But would you keep this message on air in our over 800 radio markets with a year-end gift online at olivetreeviews.org or call us at 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444. You can drop us a tax-deductible gift to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. We want to equip you for today and tomorrow. We want to provide news, views, and truths, but more than that, make sure you are ready to meet the King.
Is Facebook being sneaky and telling you what to think? I bet you don't like that. Well, a former Facebook worker, in fact, a number of workers are now coming forward saying the social media giant deliberately suppressed conservative news. Workers were reportedly told to keep conservative topics from appearing in the highly influential and highly persuasive trending news section of the Facebook page. So is there a bias at Facebook trying to manipulate you?
Next on Understanding the Times, Eric Barger, Jill Martin Rishi, and Jan Markell shift gears to talk about how social media is changing the way we exchange ideas on the internet. Once again, here's Jan Markell.
Remember Remember, I try to stay in touch with you with my print newsletter, my e-newsletter. Sign up online, olivetreeviews.org. Again, if you write to us, and particularly if you send a gift, always tell us what station you're listening to, won't you? That is so helpful in our office activity here. We're changing topics for this short segment because I've been apprised recently that I've got good friends who are in jail. Okay, what do I mean by that? They are in Facebook jail. Now, folks, you may say, oh, come on, Jan, do we really care? Yes, it has to do with free speech. And if you say things that upset the big tech giants, YouTube, Google, Facebook, Twitter, Apple, Microsoft, and many more, if you say things that are slightly to the right, conservative, Christian, you are likely going to be, well, silenced, punished, put in jail. Jill Martin Rishi, who remains in studio with me, manages our social media. Jill, what on earth is Facebook jail? I've got a friend who's in, actually, she's banned for life from Facebook.
Well, it's being punished. You're being punished for being on Facebook. That's what it is. And they have different levels of punishment. So first you get a warning. Mm-hmm. And then if you post again too quickly after that warning, you get another warning. And then it just goes from there. Eventually, if you do not do what they wish you to do, which is either take down this post, usually they will take down that post if they don't like a post and send it to you. Some people have had them leave it up. So it just depends on who's actually working behind the Facebook censoring desk that day, how they do it. Well, but they will literally punish you because you are saying things they do not like.
Okay, but would a leftist ever get censored or punished or put in jail?
I don't know. I think according to the news reports, a lot of it happens to the conservatives. They're the ones out there screaming. I don't hear a whole lot of liberals out there screaming that they're being censored on Facebook. What do you think, Eric?
No, this is political correctness at work.
I know.
But terrorist links can remain up. All sorts of evil articles, news feeds, things that are absolutely, here we are, Isaiah 5:20, calling good evil and evil good. But the evil stuff can stay up there. If you talk about conservatism, anything about Christian, church, etc., you could end up banned for life or temporarily put in Facebook jail. I just find this is shades of Nazi Germany, and I'm a student of World War II, I've written books on it, and I don't like what I'm seeing, Jill.
It's being labeled hate speech.
Yes.
Everything is under hate speech. So they can do whatever they like to us as long as they can stick whatever we say under a certain label. And that particular one is very powerful. So the message of Christianity, the message of Christ, is being labeled hate speech. And we are going to see an increase, I think, in this, a greater increase in this as the years go by.
But yet a conservative, a very well-known conservative woman, has a Facebook page built against her that is so evil. I mean, we're talking about the worst evil. It's hard to describe. Am I correct?
That's correct. Yeah, there is a Facebook page out there that is devoted to destroying Michelle Bachmann. Mm. And it says the most disgusting things on there, mocking her constantly, crude, rude, lewd on Facebook. And yep, that's up all the time. I don't know that they get any warnings, Jan. I'm going to guess that they don't get any warnings on that. So that's just my personal opinion. But that's just one example. They've had pages on there against Jesus doing the same thing. There have been all kinds of things on there that are questionable, even in the political realm, as far as running Russian ads during our election.
That's right.
But those things can stay on Facebook. And yet when you have a Christian on there giving a strong message or daring to criticize Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, then all of a sudden you run into problems.
Okay, well, there are 1.65 billion users a month. This is just Facebook. This is not counting YouTube, Twitter, various other, who knows about Instagram, I'm not sure, but 1.65 billion users a month. Now, this ministry, Olive Tree Ministries, was banned from YouTube 2 years ago, almost to the day. And I think, Eric, the only thing we were talking about in that program happened to be Islamic persecution of Christians in the Middle East. And all of a sudden, I got a notice. Look, Olive Tree's got 1,000 YouTubes, and the lights were turned off every single one twice. Twice within 3 months, we happened to have WorldNet Daily go to bat for us. I'm sure you remember that, Eric. We were not being controversial in that program. We were simply stating Christians are being persecuted in the Middle East. Hey, folks, would you pray for these people? Oh, my goodness. What an anathema to talk like that.
Yeah, that must have been a real problem. I have described that program on many occasions as being one of the more vanilla programs we've done, where we really right. weren't confronting anything. We were asking right. for prayer and for an awareness of what is going on with the persecution of believers worldwide. I was shocked, as you were, when that program caused the reaction that it did, or at least we assume it did, because you don't get an answer, you don't get an appeal, if you will, when you talk to anybody in these organizations. In fact, it was really a miracle that we're Net Daily had the phone number to be able to contact someone at YouTube.
Even as we speak right now, we have a topic online on Facebook, and it's talking about the censorship, and it's just taking off, going viral. Okay. And there's a great quote from one of our followers. She says, "I post a lot of biblically based and conservative political issues. Most of my friends don't comment. And when I began to reply to them, they would say my posts weren't coming up in their news feed, even though they were following me. I know it's being done here."
Okay. Interesting. Twitter. There are flagged groups in Twitter. What's that all about, Jill? Because you manage our Twitter. Olive Tree Men, folks. Go ahead.
Twitter has started what I call their Ministry of Truth. Any of you who know the book 1984, the Ministry of Truth stood for the Ministry of Propaganda. So Twitter has started their own little Trust and Safety Council. That's what they call it. The Trust and Safety Council. And they say that it is basically 50 organizations, one of which includes the Feminist Frequency website, which is a big controversial website, Feminist Frequency. And their goal is to maintain a safe environment so that people, quote, feel safe expressing themselves, unquote. The only problem is, ever since they've started doing this, the level of conservative voices that have been silenced, cried out first as loudly as they could, and then were silenced, has increased steadily. I don't hear that from liberals. I don't see it in the news on headlines, but I sure see a lot of conservatives yelling in the headlines.
Mm. Where do you think this is leading? Honestly, where is it leading? I mean, again, I use the illustration some 80 years ago in Nazi Germany. Obviously, they didn't have technology, but they still had the sentiment of blocking free speech. But where is this going?
Well, I think when you enter into censorship, when you enter into the shutting down of free speech, you are coming against a key American freedom. We should be able to speak, say what we think. This is the beauty of this country. Mm-hmm. What it will come to in the future is, I hope not, but what it could lead to in the future is the witch hunts like we went through in the 1950s with communism, where committees are literally formed to come after people. That's where I see this going possibly in the future. And if something happens and we lose the majority that we have politically, it could be this happens a lot faster.
Yeah. Ultimately, it's leading to Mark of the Beast technology. I mean, we just don't know how soon that's going to happen. By the way, we're not saying that technology is evil. We're really not. Some are misusing technology. A lot of technology is getting the gospel around the world. In one click, you can get the gospel to the entire continent of Africa, which used to take years, even decades. You can do it in an instant now. But here again, what Satan means for evil, God is trying to use this technology for good, and it's certainly being hijacked in some cases. Again, partly because these technology giants are all motivated with leftist ideology. Every single one of them is leftist ideology. And I think, Jill, you were talking about somebody trying to come up with a conservative / Christian approach to this.
Yes, it's called GAB, G-A-B, GAB.AI, and that stands for artificial intelligence. So it's GAB.AI, and they are in what's called a beta testing mode right now, but you can still sign up. So I would really encourage you to go take a look at that format. It's GAB, GAB.AI, and you can sign up for an account there. It's geared toward free speech and protecting conservatives especially.
I think it's important to note that Microsoft and Facebook and Google and YouTube and so on have signed with the European community a politically correct type of statement that they will keep particular comments and content off of their sites as much as possible. So we're fighting against that too. It is the First Amendment of our Constitution that is still alive allowing us free speech here, because on all sides, that is coming under attack.
Eric, why don't you wrap up this segment? We've got another minute or so. But again, I'm concerned because good people are being silenced. Of course, that is the goal. The goal is to silence particularly anybody of faith is trying to be silenced. I'm concerned that somebody I know right now, an excellent online writer, she'd been banned. She's in permanent jail. Usually, if I'm right, Jill, it's a temporary jail. You get a notice for a week or 2 weeks, and then you're let out of jail.
Right. They assign different times. It depends on how bad they think your infraction was.
Sure,
the rules.
Sure. And then obviously some can be banned for life, as this particular writer is.
Right.
That's the writer who's going viral right now on our Facebook. Interesting. Kind of ironic there.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And that means that you're in the room, the door's shut, and you never come out again.
Yeah.
So
threw away the key.
They threw away the key. Yeah.
I'm down to 30 seconds. I'm going to have you wrap things up, Eric.
I think I want to do that in prayer, Jan. Father, we're just grateful that we have the opportunity we have with all the different mediums that we have to be able to present the truth and present your word. And Father, I realize there are others around us who are being limited and even their mouths being shut. But Lord, you have the ultimate end say. You're the God who's in charge. And we just look to you and ask you for favor for those who wrongfully are being shut down. And Father, we pray for favor for those of us who are continuing to stand for your truth. Be with us, each of us individually and now collectively too, we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Folks, I want to thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Love everlasting, reigning on high. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praise.
Thanks for joining us for today's Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Across America and across the World Wide Web, we continue to report current events from a biblical perspective. Every week, this broadcast comes to you at no cost, but it costs us thousands of dollars. As we produce and distribute this weekend media outreach, would you consider becoming our partner? With an ever-changing world, men and women of faith need to keep informed. They need to be aware of current events as viewed through the lens of Scripture. Week after week, Jan Markell brings you a compelling hour of discussion to point out the dangers in today's culture and to bring hope through faith in Jesus Christ. Do consider joining us in this listener-supported ministry as our financial partner. Please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Contributions are also accepted at olivetreeviews.org or by phone when you call 763-559-4444. Don't forget, global updates with a biblical worldview are yours around the clock at olivetreeviews.org. We look forward to hearing from you very soon. We appreciate your continued prayer support for Jan and her media team. Next week, Jan Markell returns with another information and inspiration-packed hour designed to help you understand the times. Whoa.